Now, Jessica and Mark.
Wake up on the opposite sides of the bed.
Right, a pillow fortress between them.
Literally, it was like two twins pushed together. I was like, what are they doing?
Oh, Jesus. So they're already, they're on two different planes.
Yes.
Mark waking up with Jessica is surreal. Mm-hmm. We're honestly the same person. I feel like I've known her forever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jessica, she literally says this to Mark. She says to him the next morning, she's like, so you don't snore and you don't sweat. So you can potentially be in the cuddle zone.
That's what I'm telling you. She was all the way on the other corner of the bed. She was sleeping closer to that lamp than she was to him.
She was cuddled with the nightside table. But yet, the dude. This was my Even Stevie Wonder can see moment. Right here, Mark, it is plain as day. She does not fuck with you.
No.
She don't want nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. It's not it. You are you could potentially be in the cuddle zone.
Yep.
Is what she said to him. Mm-hmm. Are you for real?
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for him.
I know.
He looked so cold
too.
Under that bed sheet.
He was still in that Fabio pose. Like, he was probably slept like that.
I know. Just waiting for her to just roll into his leg.
Just roll next to him. My goodness.
God.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So she ain't into it, and I mean, Mark, he's trying to, I mean, he has no choice, so he's like, yes, we're waiting to have sex, we want to build a foundation. It's like, nigga, you have no choice. She don't want to breathe near you.
She probably don't want to share this room, but, you know, it's fine.
Right, she had her choice. Now, Diamond and Carlton.
Oh.
Lord. So, last episode, Carlton revealed to Diamond that he has previously dated men and women, dropped the bomb on her, even though he has proposed to her and all kinds of other mess. Just ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous.
Yep.
And so Diamond wakes up alone, and she kind of recaps how shocked she was from the previous night, and she's sad. She's like, I fell for Carlton, but now I can't say anything that he said was real. Like, I don't know at this point. I still have a connection with him, but, like, I really need to talk with him to, like, understand what am I missing?
Yeah.
Who is he?
What,
like,
happened? Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. Now, Carlton, he in his little vlog in his room.
Yes, they did give him a vlog.
They gave him a vlog. You know, he talking, I care about Diamond, but all I can do is wait and see what she says. You know, I understand it was a lot to take in, but all I can do is live my truth and do what's best for me.
Ooh,
coming with this energy already.
I was so close to making this my Stevie Wonder moment because it's so obvious there that he was just here for TV.
Yes, you are not here for somebody else's heart.
No.
Nope. Period.
Nope.
Terrible. So the rest of the couples, they kind of have, you know, they're enjoying their day. Giannina and Damien, they're going for massages. They still being very over the top. Just
a lot. Oh my God. And Damien was touching her real delicate. I was like, this is why she be complaining in the next three episodes.
The next couple episodes.
I see why.
Right. So, yeah, she's like, your eyes are blue like the ocean, like the sky, like these lines.
Yeah.
So, just too over the top. Kelly and Kenny, they hitting it off. Kelly says Kenny is one of the best kissers I've ever had.
Kelly's vacation style is very cute.
It's cute. I really like it.
Yeah.
Right?
She's had some like real moments with these floral prints.
Yes.
It's nice.
Floral, like, crop top, high waist skirt, short, like, sets.
Yeah.
Floral sets. Yeah. Love it. And I like her body too. She's like fit.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she looks like she could, like, lift her double her body weight or something.
Right, or, like, squat some real shit.
Yeah.
I like it. Amber and Barnett, they're hanging at the beach. They're drinking. They're, like, slow dancing on the beach and, you know, just having a good old time. Amber does reveal she's never left the country. This is her first.
Jeez. Wow.
First foray out the country,
mm-hmm.
which, you know how we feel about people who do not travel.
People who do not travel with money and, like,
with
no care in the world. Why wouldn't you go to Mexico? You live in Alabama.
Right.
You could drive. Just go to
Bahamas,
Mexico.
There's, like, cheap cruises, places. Like, I don't understand why people reach this age and haven't even at least been to Bahamas or Mexico.
Especially when it's so right cheap there. To get there.
Especially when it's so cheap.
I get it if you're Cameron and you are in Maine, it's mad expensive to go somewhere. Right. And maybe you don't want to go to Canada where it's snowing. But to go to Mexico from Alabama, that's cheap. Come on now.
That's cheap, girl. Now, Mark and Jessica, you know, they're having real conversation.
For them.
Jessica, she's still continuing her lies to Mark, telling him how getting to know someone as they really are is really amazing. Looking back, you know, it's always been based on social status or settings for me, but now I feel like my mind has totally changed getting to know you. And then Jessica starts to, this is where she starts, like, planting doubt and planting these external factors that are not factors at all.
Yes, yes.
She talks about, you know, his mom. You know, I'm so worried about your mom. Like, I know she's super protective. Me being 34, it's going to be tough for her. Like, all of these assumptions that we've not met this woman yet. So what is all of this? And Mark even reassures her. He's like, look, my mom's cool. Like, she's going to love you because I love you. Like, he doesn't seem worried or bothered at all.
Not at all.
So...
And why not is she so up in arms? By the factors that, like, normal people would, which is, like, culture and the fact that nobody knows each other in this process at all. Like, Mark's mama don't know you. Mark doesn't know you. You don't know Mark. Like,
right. Like, no, like, everyone is, like, new.
Right. So. Right.
Relax. Lord. Now, Cameron and Lauren love them. Love this conversation.
Yes, this was an interesting one. Yes, yes.
A lot of realness. So, Cameron, you know, they're just, the two of them, they're just like laying out in the sun, just like chilling. Cameron's talking about how he's, you know, hasn't been this happy before in his relationships, and he just feels so super comfortable with Lauren, especially with how fast it's moving. And Lauren, you know, she's talking in her confessional. She said, you know, in her past, she's had two solid boyfriends and the two of them essentially made her distrust men. So she has never felt happiness like this before. And she's thankful. She's like, I don't think I would have ever met a man like Cameron if not for this experience.
Yeah.
So it seems like she was coming from a very just like jaded, men ain't shit kind of mindset, and now this experience has like opened her up, and she's met someone who's like actually very nice.
And also white, which is different for her
too. And white,
yeah,
and completely different from anything she's dated before. So now Lauren asks him if he has any concerns about the wedding, and Cameron's like, not really. And she's like, well, you know, you have to meet my dad. And she kind of gives this little face and it's like, what the fuck? And she tells him how her dad is super protective, how he's never met any of her boyfriends. So this is intense because now he's going to be meeting a fiance.
Yes.
Who is white, who he met on television.
Yes. Like, right. Who no one knows still. It'll be like day 14 and everybody's just together. Yes.
And she, you know, tells him again, you know, you're the first white guy I've ever dated. So he's, my dad is definitely going to grill you. He himself grew up in a different era and, you know, just thinks a little bit differently. So just heads up. Now, Cameron, this is where I really was like, yes, Cameron, appreciate you. Thank you. And Cameron, he said to her, he's like, look, you know, if and when we have children, I know that the world is going to perceive them as black. And I know it's going to, you know, maybe make their lives harder in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, I trust that we'll raise them in the right way and, you know, not have anything to worry about. And from this point on, I was like, I fuck with Cameron. I fucked with him before, but I definitely fuck with him now. Because it takes some level of wokeness to even recognize that statement. Our kids will be black. Better yet to articulate it out loud. And so... it made me realize, like, this is probably not his first time at the radio.
Absolutely not. Same with the reaction to the bonnet. He was real like, yeah, okay.
Right. He was real chill with it. I'm like, this is not his first time. But even that, I love that they showed that statement. Another clip that could have been on the editing room floor. But, like, hearing this white man say, when we have kids, they will be perceived as black. Like, that is, I think people watching the show might have learned something. Like,
Yes, true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Even though they're biracial, they look black. The world's going to perceive it. Like, that was probably, mm-hmm. like, a learning moment for people. So, again, another moment where I shout out to the editors for keeping that in.
Hey, guys. That's a little taste of this week's episode. If you want to hear the full recap,
head on over to patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose and sign up to get weekly recaps and other Bachelor content from us.
See you next week.